About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WYNNbet.com and download the app today.
We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home for free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube, but for sports gambling. So make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV.
We're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just head to getroman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's getroman.com/SGP.
And finally, we've just launched two new shows, our MLB Gambling Podcast and SGPN's own Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the Sports Gambling Podcast Network feed so you never miss an episode. Just search Sports Gambling Podcast Network on your podcast provider.
That action, boss.
Welcome everyone to About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kyle Waddy Watnell, joined by my co-host and partner in picks, Mark Megatron Glass. Today is Tuesday, April 27th. If you clicked on this episode after reading the title, you know it's going to be a bizarre show. Mark, what do we have in store?
I cannot wait to talk about Formula One, my new favorite sport. For the record, I grew up playing soccer since the age of five. I've played for like 20 years. That's my third favorite sport.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe even my fourth favorite sport if you count Beard Eye as one.
Formula One. A Formula One episode. I think the first one in SGPN history. We're living in a bizarre world. Mark has been mentioning a few times his newfound interest in Formula One as a sport. And of course there are odds for it on all the betting sites. So we thought it might be a fun idea to dive into it and make some picks for. What do we have this weekend, Mark? What's the race we're looking forward to?
We've got the Portuguese Grand Prix.
Wow.
So if you want to watch it, qualifying takes place on Saturday at bright and early 7 a.m. and then the race itself will be on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure.
7 a.m. as well.
In case you don't already have your calendar marked with the Portuguese Grand Prix, be sure to add it. We can't wait to break that down. So lots of interesting stuff coming up this episode. But first, last week we broke down UFC 261. It is time for Financial Investing 101.
Because all we care about is getting fucking rich.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Financial Investing 101.
Fucking thing sucks!
All right, first of all, what a card that UFC 261 was. It had a little bit of everything, Mark. Just one of the most exciting, just emotional up and down roller coaster ride that was UFC 261. Mark, how did we do with the picks?
I personally did not have my best day have my best day
bad
in the
day
sports
the book.
Yeah, went 2 for 5, went down $250. But
yikes.
Hey, like you said, these fights were pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So I guess it was worth it. I could have just bought the pay-per-view for less and not bet it, but hey, don't win them all.
Yeah, it was definitely an unpredictable card. I mean, it looked like on paper, we talked about it last week, it looked like a lot of these big championship fights, the favorites tend to win, and on big cards like that, that's usually the way we've gone, and it's been profitable in the past. But this one definitely had some curveballs for us. The first fight on the card was, of course, Anthony Smith and Jimmy Crute. Smith lands a leg kick that shuts off the nerve of Jimmy Crute. Jimmy Crute gets O'Malley'd, if you will, Mark. His leg goes all funky. That looked like you coming home from the bars back in college, Mark. A classic stumble after stumble, and in between rounds, the ref calls it off. What a way to start off the card.
Yeah, I just didn't have a ref looking out for me back in those days. Just someone on the sideline feeding me water and fixing
up
my cuts and bruises. Yeah, those leg kicks are becoming quite fashionable, aren't they?
Yeah, so you thought after watching that fight, all right, leg kicks can be bad, and then it gets worse, Mark. The second fight of the card, Uriah Hall, Chris Weidman. You had Chris Weidman, I had Uriah Hall. What a bizarre way for me to win a bet and you to lose one. virtually the first kick. I mean, we're like 12 seconds into the fight. Chris Weidman throws a leg kick. It gets checked. Leg completely snaps.
Yeah, I didn't watch the replays of that.
Yeah, don't watch it.
I still haven't seen it.
Don't watch it if you can avoid watching it. Just disgusting. Yeah, leg just completely goes in half, and then he tries to step back on it, and it was just, oh, it was so, so gnarly. I don't even know what to say about that. So you hope the guy gets better. And it's actually, a lot of people have been talking about the irony of it, Mark, is that that happened to one of Chris Weidman's opponents in Anderson Silva back in the day, where the exact reverse happened. So unfortunate to see it happen for Chris. Some people are like speculating maybe he had like a hairline fracture in his leg. It's just so rare for a leg to just completely go like that on a leg kick on like kind of a blunt force to blunt force impact. But it happened. Crazy. So you lose that bet on Weidman. I cash a weird one on Uriah Hall. And then the first of the three championship fights, we have to mention Shevchenko just absolutely dominating Andrade. That turned out to be the safest bet on the card. Didn't look like she was in trouble for a second.
Yeah, like we said, I was surprised that line was so far apart and or was so close together, my bad. And that proved to be true. Shevchenko, I mean, she just... There's no one that's going to touch her besides an Amanda Nunes type of person. So
right.
It's similar to her division as well. Like there are no contenders here.
Yep. You thought if there was any sort of weakness, it would have been in the grappling. Instead, she chooses to dominate in the grappling and gets the TKO finish. And then we had perhaps the most surprising result of the night was Zhang Weili getting knocked out via kick, high kick. Early into the fight as well, Rose Namajunas lands that left high kick, puts her down, finishes it off with some hammer fists. Were you surprised to see Zhang Weili, who had just been in an absolute war in her last fight where she'd taken so many shots, were you surprised to see her go down that early?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like we said, that she's got that true dog. It was like, if that last fight couldn't knock her out, what could?
Right.
But sometimes those kicks just connect perfectly and it's lights out, and that's exactly what happened here. So
that's the game.
Props to Namajunas. I hope she enjoys the pressure of being the champion.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, now we get that storyline back again. Very interesting. And then last but not least, perhaps the most spectacular knockout on the entire card, Kamaru Usman lands a huge straight right hand on the face of Jorge Masvidal, just a huge whiplash punch that puts him out almost instantly, and then just some brutal ground and pound to finish the job. I mean, we were both high on Usman, so we both cashed that ticket, but there wasn't much value in the bet, of course. Usman was the big favorite, but any surprise to see? I mean, it was Masvidal's first like knockout loss since it was some crazy stat, like 2009 or something crazy like that. Like, he hadn't been knocked out in forever. What does this mean for Usman going forward? Now he's like a dual threat guy.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's going to come through and lap everybody. Everyone wants the Colby Covington fight.
Right.
That's a guy that everyone would love to see get his ass beat, of course. Someone that Usman beat a while back. And I thought it was, I just thought it was interesting because, like we said, obviously Masvidal is an amazing fighter, tough guy. But he's so cocky. Like, he was so cocky because I think, like, too cocky, and he acknowledged it after the fight in his post-fight interview, but like, he's literally standing there like smiling, laughing, getting punched in the face, and then like just gets rocked, and it was hilarious because they took the like Ole McGregor chant that they typically do for Connor and they turned it into Jorge, so they're chanting like Ole 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 Jorge,
right,
and as they're chanting that, he just gets
one
punch knockout, like an absolutely incredible showing. And I mean, Kamaru Usman is I mean, there's I think he's I
they're
would
throwing
not be
goats out
if
there, Mark.
The number one,
number throwing...
one pound for pound fighter
That's
right now.
Right.
I can't think of another more dominant fighter in their division.
Right, very impressive. Before we move on from UFC, I do have to mention on the podcast, Mark, our boy Marvin Vettori gets the next title shot in the middleweight division against Israel Adesanya. He gets that rematch. He lost via split decision to him the first go around. This is obviously huge for the podcast and even bigger for you, Mark. Your reaction as someone who has fought the guy to see him get a title shot.
I can't wait. I obviously got dominated in my fight in the back alley of Huntington Beach against Marvin Vettori. But if he's getting a title shot, then I think based on my performance, like, I'm at least
a
top 30 middleweight for sure. I'm not saying I'm showing up on the UFC rankings website.
Right.
But I'm close.
Not yet. All right, that's it for UFC 261. Not our biggest money maker, but definitely one of the most entertaining cards of the year and perhaps of all time. It was a card that had it all, like I said. Without further ado, Mark, I'll go ahead and pass the reins over to you. Formula One. Wow. We're going to do some bets on Formula One racing this weekend. For those who don't know, can you give a rundown of how the sport works and kind of what made you interested in it and why we're even talking about it?
Absolutely. So some listeners may know that I used to live in England, as we've mentioned on the show mm-hmm. before. And so Formula One's interesting. It's one of those sports. It's actually very similar to the dynamic of soccer in some ways, in the sense that it's absolutely massive globally, but doesn't really have traction in the United States. Obviously, soccer's been getting a lot bigger recently, but Formula One is lagging behind it. They actually have, like, I want to say it was like 500 million individual viewers worldwide, and then like they generate absolutely billions of dollars. So mm-hmm. I mean, they're making money like on the level of some of our top American sports and garnering some absolutely massive crowds. So I think if Americans aren't watching it, I think they would love it personally. I think NASCAR gives a bad rap to the racing.
Interesting.
Because NASCAR is very circular track, right? It's literally just an oval.
Right.
Right. The races go much longer and the cars are not as fast.
Mm-hmm.
Formula One, you've got these wicked fast cars on very curving tracks in these absolutely scenic locations all across the world.
Right.
It takes place across, I think, 5 different continents, if I'm not mistaken. So you get like a very interesting global dynamic to the sport.
Okay.
But I was thinking what might be a good way to teach the listeners is to learn through Kyle's failures. So I have a series of very quick Formula One trivia questions related to the gist of the sport. And you're just going to give me the first answer you think based on your intuition.
Right.
And when you get it wrong, I'll correct you. And the listeners will learn from that. Like they say, failure is the best teacher.
Perfect. I'm happy to play that role. Go ahead.
Here's question number one. How many Formula One races are there in a season?
In a season, I'm going to go with 15.
That is incorrect. There are 23 races.
I wasn't that far off.
It used to be 20. They added races in 2021 because they're always looking for new ways to make money, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So about 2 a month.
Yeah, exactly. Like roughly like every other week or so. So
okay.
I know you do some PR work for IndyCar, right? So you may actually know the answer to this one. Where is the only American Formula One race held?
Now I'm thinking NASCAR. I'm going to say it's not in Indianapolis.
It is not in Indianapolis. It's in Austin, Texas, at the Circuit of the Americas. They're actually working on bringing a race to Florida, which would be pretty awesome.
That would be cool.
So we have one American race per year. It takes place in Austin, Texas.
Okay, all right.
What else?
Not our most scenic place, but that's fine.
Here's another good question. How many drivers, professional drivers, are in the Formula One league?
In the league, I'm gonna say seems like there's a lot. I'm gonna say around 50.
Oh, you're off. You're off, buddy.
Is there
20.
More? Oh, so less. There's only 20 drivers?
There's 10 Formula One teams, and each team has two drivers.
There's only 10 teams. Wow.
Yeah. So there's Formula 2 and Formula 3 as well, so like they can get promoted in and out through that kind of.
Oh, wow. There's actually like B leagues and C leagues.
It's not like a promotion relegation system like how soccer does it. Basically, you're buying your way in. So that's actually like a very interesting part of the sport. For example, right now Aston Martin has a team, and they're owned by a like multi-billionaire from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Lawrence Stroll, right? And he basically like bought his way into a F1 team that was owned by this Indian guy who was having like all this financial trouble, and was I don't know if he went to jail, but he like had to get extradited back to India, so he couldn't own the team anymore. He actually paid $30 million to the team in order to have his son Lance drive for Aston Martin.
Wow.
So he has a son who is working his way through the lower divisions of Formula One. So you want to talk about pay to play, right?
Yeah.
$30 million to drive. They paid $30 million because they'll take money. And on the other hand, you have the top drivers that like Lewis Hamilton. I think he makes $50 million a season, something like that. So yeah, 10 drivers, 2 teams. And final question for you, just to give some context into how fast these cars are truly moving.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Top speed of the average Formula One car
in miles per hour. Top speed. It's got to be. Well, you said they're faster than NASCAR, but all right. Top speed. I'm gonna go 200 miles an hour.
Not a bad guess. I would say like the lower cars are hitting 200 miles an hour, like with the drivers that aren't as they don't really have the license to push the engine that hard, because at the end of the day, it's really a manufacturing based business, you know, which car is built the best. But the best cars are pushing 245 miles an hour, sometimes 250 if they can get a really long straightaway.
Right,
and here's my final bonus question.
Oh, okay.
So as you know, the Formula One tracks have very sharp turns, a lot of turns. It's not just going around in a circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
What speed are the cars going around those corners at?
The sharp turns would be done about 60 to 80 miles an hour. Is it faster than that?
Right, doubling, maybe even tripling.
No
120 miles an hour they're going around those corners. And they accelerate from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2.5 seconds.
Mark, you should be working for the Formula One people. You're really selling the sport. You're creating new fans as
wild.
We speak here.
So because of that, you see a lot of crashes. Which can be sad. They actually had a driver, the last driver to die in Formula 2 was 2019. So it's really sad. Okay. So, and there was almost a guy last year, like his car exploded. It's pretty wild.
Very
and so,
dangerous for sure.
Yeah, it's very rare for every car to finish the race. Like cars will blow out because they put them through so much.
Right.
So an absolutely wild sport, and one that I hope listeners will give a shot to. I mean, if you don't want to wake up at 7 a.m. Pacific time, watch the highlights, because it's funny because there's always stuff happening at every side, every part of the race. So you'll have like the commentators are always like
How long is the race as well?
2 hours.
Two hours.
They usually take at maximum 2 hours.
Okay.
So they'll usually have like a British commentator. It kind of sounds like a soccer commentator, like very high energy, very posh,
for sure.
And they're just constantly screaming and like someone's lapping someone here, someone just crashed, this car's rolling over, this engine just exploded.
All right, cool.
So I say we get into these picks here now that
Let's
you've officially failed your Formula One
Thank
exam
you.
And the listeners as
now
a result have a better sense of what's going on. So I'm going to open up the first pick here in what we refer to as pole position, which is actually an American expression for being in the best position, right? And that actually comes from racing.
Does that mean, oh, that means like you start
the race
at the best place. I played Mario Kart, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So basically what Formula One does is you have a day of qualification before the race. So they do qualification on Saturday, and then the race itself is on Sunday. So to qualify, each racer does a lap around the course, right? So they do like a lap where they gain the speed, and then their timed lap. And whoever has the fast, like, it's just in order. So fastest lap gets pole position. Worst laps, like some cars, like in some occasions, the drivers will actually crash out in the qualification.
And then
round.
You're just out.
Yeah, exactly. So there's several rounds of qualifying laps. Like I think there's like 3 or 4 rounds. So like in like the top five go, like they get their bottom positions and it works all the way up. So like it's usually the same cars are getting into the qualification, like at the same rate. So like Lewis Hamilton, for example, he races for Mercedes. He's won.
Oh, yeah, Lewis, yeah.
Yeah, he's won like six championships in a row, the English driver for Mercedes. And so he is the most pole positions of any driver in all time. Like he almost always gets it. But he's being challenged this year. So I wanted to take a look at the qualification because you can bet on who's going to get pole position.
Right. Here. Okay.
Right. And so you'll see, like I said, it's usually the same guys. So I'm going to suggest to the listeners that we go with Lewis Hamilton here because he's actually plus 165 to get the pole position. And I mean, he almost always gets it. I believe he got it in the last race, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I see you have another driver written down here, Max Verstappen.
Yeah,
I saw. Explain why you put that pick.
Yeah, I took a look at
the
odds.
Favorite.
I took a look at the odds. He's the favorite. And I was like, you know what they say, like something I always say to new bettors, like people who are going to, you know, betting on sports in Vegas for the first time or betting at horse racing for the first time. I do some work in horse racing too. Something I always say is, oh, if you're new to this, like bet on the favorites because then you'll enjoy it like your first times because you'll win. Even if you don't win money, you'll win some bets. And just that's like a fun thing to do when you're betting on a sport for the first time. So that was totally my the beginning and end of my analysis onto why I was going to pick. What's his name? Max Verstappen?
Yes.
He's a minus 110.
He's a Dutch racer.
Okay,
he's
minus 110.
He's a Dutch racer. He races for Red Bull. He's very good. Very good racer.
All right.
He's a like very young, brash guy. Like I think he's fought like two seasons ago, he fought another racer because the guy like hit his car and it caused him to like have to retire from the race. So he like fought the driver. But yeah.
Okay.
So
it seems there's a big jump. I'm just going to mention you have Max Verstappen and then Lewis Hamilton And then the next closest with the looking at the odds is Valtteri, what is that, Bottas?
Valtteri Bottas. He's Lewis Hamilton's teammate on Mercedes.
Okay, and he's a plus 675, and then the rest are even longer shots from there. So it seems like Hamilton and Verstappen are the two top dogs, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing about Formula One, right? It's like it's almost always the same people winning the races and getting the pole positions because this is based on who has the best car.
Right.
And Mercedes and Red Bull have the best car.
Do they reuse the car, or do they just?
Yeah, well, they're constantly tweaking it every season. Like every season, they're adding updates to it, and Formula One is adding new rules into what is and isn't allowed.
Got it.
So Red Bull and Mercedes are the two most dominant teams. Then you have other teams that are trying to work their way up. Like Williams is always at the bottom. Like they're terrible. Like their car just does not compare. So I'll tell you why I took Lewis Hamilton here, right? And this is a good lesson for all of our new Formula One fans, is that in Formula One, rain, right? When water falls out of the sky.
Rain, yeah. Yeah.
That's considered the great equalizer, right?
Oh. And it's,
if you check the weather
it's gonna rain
Saturday when they're doing qualifications in the city that they're going to be racing in, it's going to be raining.
That's great
which
work, Mark.
Driver skill is going to be very important. The experience of Lewis Hamilton is why I picked him here. Oh. What you may not know about Max Verstappen is he's known as a very aggressive driver, right? He's extremely aggressive.
Okay.
Like he's not afraid to go into tight turns and risk getting clipped by other cars. Like he'll take those chances. So in a race that's in the rain during his qualifying, he's not going to be able to push it that hard. So I think the skill of Lewis Hamilton is going to give him the edge. And plus, Lewis, any time you get Lewis Hamilton at plus money in Formula One, you take it as a value pick.
It's a privilege. Okay.
You take it as a value pick. It's very rare.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go with Lewis Hamilton. You're gonna go with Max Verstappen, who's the favorite at minus 110.
Just for the sake of it, to have some differences between the picks, I will go ahead and take the favorite. What's the next thing we bet on? The winner of the race? Is that something we can do?
Yeah, that's typically what happens if one person wins the race. But here's what's interesting, right, is that you have what's called the podium finish, right? And that's the top three, first, second, third. And for all of our American NASCAR...
I podiumed in pickleball. I know all about that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. What you did in pickleball, but now do it at 250 miles an hour. Your life on the line. No one was ever scared that a pickleball player was going to die. So if you're familiar with Ricky Bobby... The Talladega.
Yes, yes. Right? There we go.
Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Famous quote, if you're not first, you're last.
Okay.
That could not be farther from the truth in Formula One. You will never see a sport with guys celebrating third, fourth, fifth, sixth place so hard.
Wow.
Because basically, like I said, it's almost always the same guys winning or getting in the top three. And it's usually guys from the Mercedes guys, Red Bull get a couple, like maybe a Ferrari car will get in there. But so the cars at the bottom, if they just get a finish, that's huge for them.
Okay.
And so basically the way the point system works is that there's 20 racers. The top 10 finishers get a certain amount of points based on where they finish.
Got
Obviously, the higher you finish, the more you get. But
Got
if you
it.
Finish 11th or lower, you get 0 points.
Okay.
So some of these teams like Haas F1 or like Williams that are typically towards the bottom, if they finish in like 10th or 9th place with one of their racers, that's a great day.
Interesting.
They'll celebrate that.
Okay. That's good
to
know.
So it's a big deal. Like you don't necessarily just like have to win to do a good job here.
Okay.
Which is kind of a wild concept for Americans.
All right. Okay.
That being said, the outright winner here, it's a tie between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen. They're both plus 125 to win the race outright. And the reason that they're both plus money is because so much can go wrong in Formula One, right? It's so easy for a driver that is absolutely not in contention to hit their car, you know, making a silly mistake, or maybe a tire clips a piece of debris on the course and they've got to take a massive pit stop and they lose their position. So that's why you're mostly going to be getting plus money, especially now that Max Verstappen has really like come into his own and shown that he can compete with Lewis Hamilton. I mean, it used to be Lewis Hamilton at like minus 100 for all of these races, but now he's got a little bit more competition.
Okay.
So I see, again, you've taken Max Verstappen. Taken Lewis Hamilton.
Come on, Max.
I think they're at even odds. Literally flip a coin and pick one of them.
I will say...
No one else will win.
I will say, Mark, I did do a little bit of article reading before we jumped on this recording, and I did see Sergio Perez's name. I don't know if that's a guy you're familiar with, but I saw his name pop up a few times in a few different articles about how he's kind of been underperforming in the season so far and that maybe he could get right at some point. And I see him here as a plus 800, and it raises my eyebrows a little bit. Do you think it's, I mean, it's end of story, it's between Verstappen and Hamilton, or do you think a guy like Perez could get into the mix and maybe even win the race?
He could get in the mix. He did win a race one time. There, it was actually very famous. He had an early crash in the race that caused him to have to sit. This was last season. Mm. He clawed his way from 20th all the way to first place in, wow, and won a race, which was incredible. He's Max Verstappen's Red Bull teammate.
Okay.
So the problem I have here, right, is that they tend to give the preference to the better guy,
and they're on the same
team. Exactly. So if it comes down to them being close, Red Bull's going to radio in and say, hey, like, we're going to let Verstappen get the win. That's what they'll do.
That's so funny.
I don't know why they do it, because they're on the same team, and the drivers hate that element about it. They want to fiercely compete against each other. There have been times where, like, the drivers on the same team have been really aggressive trying to get ahead of each other, and they've crashed and had to retire both of their cars.
That would be bad.
So Sergio Perez, he's the kind of guy that he'll definitely most likely be up in the top five. I would say his top six is a very safe bet.
Okay.
But it's gonna take Max Verstappen crashing out or having some major like accident out of his control, and Lewis Hamilton slipping up and Valtteri Bottas slipping up. Valtteri Bottas is Lewis Hamilton's teammate for Mercedes.
Oh, so there's literally the two teams are like the top four odds wise.
Yeah.
Here.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Interesting.
And so the Mercedes car is just a little bit better than the Red Bull car.
Okay.
At the end of the day. So I would say Perez, the best case scenario for him is Verstappen crashing out and he can get second.
And he can, okay.
And if something goes wrong with both the Mercedes cars to some capacity, then he could get the win, but it's very unlikely.
Okay. All right. I like that. Let's go ahead and jump into what the podium finishes. So now we're going to pick the top three finishers. Is that how this works?
Exactly. You don't even have to say what place you think they're going to get. You just have to say, who do you think are going to be the top three guys?
Okay.
Which is nice on the book here because, like I said, it's very common for at least the first two positions. Well, basically, this season, it's always going to be Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen.
Mm-hmm.
Give or take a few accidents that happen here and there, because they will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then who gets third is going to be up to just who has the best race on the day and what other accidents happen ahead of them. So we had Lando Norris came in third last week, and I think Valtteri Bottas came in third in the week before that. Lando Norris races for McLaren. He's a young driver to keep your eye on. He's plus 325 to get the third spot here. So obviously I have Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen as my top two guys.
Okay.
And I think the third guy to round out the podium is going to be Valtteri Bottas, the Mercedes racer, teammate of Lewis Hamilton. I just think in the rain, like I said before, the Mercedes car really has a huge advantage over the rest of the cars. It just drives a lot better. The tires handle a lot better. So I think this is, as long as he keeps his head and he doesn't try to compete with Lewis Hamilton and overtake him for the lead, I definitely could see Valtteri Bottas even getting second place. So I'm going to say my podium is Hamilton, Verstappen, and Valtteri Bottas. Who do you have in the notes here for yours?
I like it.
You're putting Perez in.
I am putting Perez in. I'll stick with Hamilton and Verstappen as the top two. To give you a sense of the odds, Hamilton a minus 400 to finish in one of the top three spots. Verstappen, minus 350. Sergio Perez coming in at even money. And then your guy Bottas is a plus 110. And then obviously the odds shift up dramatically from there. Yeah, I just figured, all right, I already backed up Sergio Perez once. I might as well throw him in my third as my third in the top three finish here. But yeah, as you can see, this is for the most part on paper looks like a two-horse race. So the real question is who ends up third, fourth, fifth.
This is the best chance to make money in Formula One betting is who's going to get that third spot.
Okay.
So there's some good drivers here. Like obviously Ferrari is a very historic brand, like a very historic car in the Formula One world, right? And they have a racer, Charles Leclerc, who's this young French driver. He's very good. He's in at plus 400.
Oh, yeah.
He could easily sneak in there. Both McLaren drivers, Lando Norris, as I was mentioning, and also Daniel Ricciardo from Australia. He's basically like the second most loved Formula One driver. If you aren't familiar with him, he's just got like a really funny Australian personality. He's at plus 650. So there's a good chance that he could finish into a podium there. He's historically been a very good driver who's always floating between like fourth and sixth place. But you never know in the rainy day courses, you know, which cars are going to handle best, which drivers are going to get a little bit too aggressive and crash out. So that's another guy. If you wanted a value pick, maybe you take him. So one of those guys to finish in that third spot. So I would say special mention to Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc, and Daniel Ricciardo here at plus 325, plus 400, and plus 650 respectively for those of you that are feeling frisky tonight.
All right. Dude, is that a plus 200,000 I see on that list here? Is that
real?
Yeah,
they're not going to win. They're not going to win.
A plus 200,000? I mean, are you out of your mount? Like,
so
what?
Those two cars, those two drivers are very young drivers. They race for the Haas F1 team, which is actually the only American F1 team. They're owned by a former driver and businessman, Gene Haas. Actually very
200,000, Mark. I've never seen anything like that.
Those cars haven't finished a race yet this year. They're a disaster of an organization. Stay away from them. Yeah, you get crazy lines. Like, for example, Fernando Alonso at plus 6,600 there. Like, plus 6,600 is an absurd line.
Right.
He's considered one of the best drivers of all time.
Wow.
He's older. He's, like, in his 40s.
Yeah.
And he's just making a return to race. But,
yeah,
like, he retired and he came back. And he's racing for Alpine, which is like Renault cars, if you know the big car manufacturer. Mm-hmm. That's their team. So it's like not even. It's just that you can take the best driver, like one of the best of all time, and put him in a crap car.
Right.
And the odds of him winning are literally less than Tupac being alive.
Like,
it's actually a great story. You'll see Pierre Gasly, who's a plus 700 to get a podium finish here.
Yep.
He actually won a race back in 2020 in the Italian Grand Prix. He was plus 20,000 odds to win.
Wow.
And basically what happened was he just had an incredible, perfect race. But what happened was a bunch of the top drivers all crashed out, like, throughout the race. And what happened was there was a really gnarly crash where if there's a bad enough crash that's blocking the course, all the drivers in whatever position you're in restart the race from wherever they were, right?
Right.
So just because he didn't need to take a pit stop, he was in the first position when that bad crash happened. Like, he would have been overtaken had it not happened and finished seventh or eighth.
Right.
So all these top cars crashed out. He was stuck in first place. And then from there, like the last 30 laps or whatever, he won.
Right place, right time. Love that.
Yeah. So you want to see upsets in sports. You're not going to see him in Formula One, but that's, I would say betting odds, that's got to be one of the best ever.
Yeah, that's amazing. Before we close out the show with the Lock Dog Parlay, and after that great Formula One lesson from
my heart rate is jacked. I didn't realize I was so passionate.
You
about
are passionate
sport.
About the sport. Gotta love that from Mark Glass. Let's go ahead and take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This show is brought to you by WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 in a risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today.
We're also brought to you by Roman. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. Even the best Formula One drivers crash when they're in pole position. Hey, it happens. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, hey, that's perfectly okay. But if it is bothering you, there are some options. Go to getroman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan so you don't have to do it illegally in Mexico. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. That's better than Amazon. The whole process is a straightforward and discreet one. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/SGP and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. getroman.com/SGP. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
We're also brought to you by BetterThan.Vegas. BetterThan.Vegas, it's like YouTube, but for what hashtag DGens only care about, that's sports betting. We're giving out free daily video picks over on our BetterThan.Vegas profile page. BetterThan.Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They got a ton of free picks and handicappers to check out. So make sure you subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV.
And lastly, the Sports Gambling Podcast is now on Riffer. That was not my dog barking. It's pronounced Riffer. Riffer is your home for mini episodes and free picks from the SGPN crew. If you don't have time to listen to an entire episode, Riffer is a perfect quick fix. Make sure to subscribe to the SGPN page by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/RIFFR.
And just like that, it's time to close out the show with the Lock Dog Parlay.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Subconsciously. I'm still alive.
All right.
Next one. Parlay.
Lock Dog Parlay.
Formula One. Portuguese Grand Prix. The cars are going to race this weekend. Mark, your lock for this weekend's event.
I'm going to give my lock. I'm going to go in the same way that Kyle likes to go into the prelims in UFC.
How the turntables. Go ahead.
Not quite the prelims here, but... you can actually bet on which drivers you think are going to get in the top six. That's where you're going to get the safer bets, like, you know, minus 400 for Lewis Hamilton, guys like that. I'm going to take Daniel Ricciardo to get in the top six at minus 125. I think that's a lock. As far as driver skill, I definitely think he's in that top, like, 5 to 7 range. And this year he's racing with McLaren. He was previously with Renault, which is a piece of shit car, and he was with Red Bull as well. A few years ago, so you know he's got a lot of experience here, and he's in a good car this year. So I think that he's gonna probably finish on the podium at some point this year. I definitely see him probably getting in the top five or so. So I think minus 125 for the top six is a good value line here.
I like it. My lock is gonna be a very safe one at minus 350. Max Verstappen top three finish. We expect him to go one or two overall. I'm going to go ahead and take him to finish top three at minus 350. Is that a safe way to go for a newbie like me?
Yeah, that's just about as safe as it gets.
Cool. Your dog?
My dog is going to be Valtteri Bottas to get a top three finish here. He's a plus 110. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen are the clear locks to finish in the one and two position. But Valtteri Bottas, a phenomenal driver, finishes in second place very often. I think he even got first place a couple times in his career as well. He obviously has to yield to Lewis Hamilton quite a bit, which is tough for him. But he's always up there in that top like 2 to 5 range. So I like him at plus 110 to get into the top three in this race here.
My dog, Sergio Perez, let's go plus 800. A big fat dog.
You're taking him to win at plus 800.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to take him to win at plus 800. It would be a lot smarter to take Verstappen or the other guy at plus 125. But I'm going to be a little exciting here and take Sergio Perez to pull off the crazy plus 800 upset. Don't follow this bet. Don't ride with me on this one. I would definitely ride with Mark. As I'm going to for the parlay. And that parlay, Mark, for this weekend is what?
I'm just going to parlay together my podium finishes. So what did I have there? I had Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, and Valtteri Bottas, who Kyle refers to as that other guy. something you actually may not know is because of the globalness of Formula One, social media for these guys is massive. So like Lewis Hamilton's got like 20 million followers.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, the top guys like Daniel Ricciardo and like Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc are all like a few million. Valtteri Bottas, that guy, he's actually got, I'm looking at his Instagram here, he's got 2 million Instagram followers.
Wow.
I wonder how that would rank in like the NFL. Like that would
that'd be huge.
That'd be like the highest percentile
that
you can get into. So, I mean, obviously, like we said, there's a big global appeal here. So put some respect on Valtteri's name before I get angry. But yeah, I'm just gonna parlay my podium guys, and that cashes out at plus 237.
I'm going to go ahead and ride with you on that one because I don't know enough to put together my own. I will be riding with Mark for a lot of his picks. You can hear the passion in his voice for Formula One, and what great timing to do a Formula One show on SGPN. So if you liked it, please do leave a review, subscribe. You can follow me on Twitter at BetOnKyle. You can follow the SGP Network on Twitter as well. Very exciting things coming for Mark and Kyle on the feed. So we're looking forward to that. Formula One, fun little show. Kind of worked out, Mark. I think this show went better than our hockey show by a mile. I think you carried us through the show, and you clearly know enough about the sport. I had a good time learning about it, Mark. I'm excited to watch that documentary. What's the documentary on Netflix? Drive to Survive.
Drive to Survive is the series that a lot of people have been getting into. They also have a couple movies. The movie Rush got nominated for an Academy Award in 2013 or something. Chris Hemsworth, absolute beauty.
Yeah, he is.
Worth checking out. Great movie as well.
All right.
And I think you'll get hooked pretty quickly here.
Cool. I'm going to be tuning in for sure. Go ahead and give a watch to some Formula One this weekend. Switch it up. Why not? Any last words for Mark before we close out the show for the week?
Yeah, my last words would be that if you're not first, that does not mean that you're last in the world of F1.
We'll see you next week.